There'll be a tip for you. When that storm came through last night, on Friday night, it was just kind of crazy because we were talking about, I thought it was supposed to rain. And it wasn't raining. It was kind of evening and kind of mild, actually, and balmy. It was really kind of warm. And then Mom had gone to bed, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and I could hear the wind and the rain, and all my pots were everywhere in the backyard and everything. And the nice thing about being hearing impaired is you take the hearing aids out, and you don't hear any of it. You just go to sleep. It's nice and quiet. So I slept well despite all the wind and the storm. And I hope you did as well. I hope there wasn't too much damage to anybody's home. Anybody suffer damage from the winds? We had 30-mile-an-hour winds at our house, and that was just the wind. So gusts were a little bit higher. So anyway, it was a crazy storm. It was kind of fun to have it come through. I'm glad everybody's safe. I want to welcome you to Mission Woods Church. If there is anybody in the parking lot, if you could give a tap on the horn. There is one. Okay. All right. Thank you. We will continue to worship, and I hope that you will enjoy our service as we worship together here this morning. We're going to open this morning with our opening psalm, and I'm going to use Psalm 1. When I was doing youth ministry many years ago, we were taking a trip through to go skiing in around Salt Lake City, and we had stopped in Las Vegas, of all places, to swap bus drivers because we were driving from Southern California. And one of the girls comes back to the bus and she says, "This man just walked up to me and recited the entire first psalm." We're like, okay, it's a good psalm. It is a good psalm. This is what it says. It says, "Blessed is the man or the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but delights in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that person does, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let us be people who stand in the wise counsel of God. Let's worship together.
I will call upon the Lord. Lord God, we call upon you. We call upon you to help us live in the wise counsel. We call upon you to fill our hearts. We call upon you for your peace. And we call upon you to praise you for all that you do for us. Be with us now in this worship. Amen. Time for praise songs. If you want to stand up, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. We're being really easy about this.
We are?
Yes.
Oh.
The first one we're going to sing is "Oh, How I Love Jesus." It goes way, way back. Jesus.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
last praise song is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. If you're having trouble seeing the screen, it is in your bulletin. Guess what time it is?
Hey, can somebody pass the salt? Salt? Sounds kind of funny, huh? Wait for Scott to catch up. Thanks, Scott. There we go. Pass the salt. That's kind of the theme we're talking about today, Scott. Today's theme, we are called to be the salt of the world. And our scripture comes from Mark 9, 38 through 50. Everybody knows what salt is, right? Yeah? Next slide, Scott. Yeah, so there's some, I didn't realize there were so many different colors of salt. And then for us science nerds that like that kind of stuff, there's the chemical symbol for salt. But most familiar, the salt shaker there. So that sits on your dinner table. We use it every day to season our food to make it taste better, right? What kind of things do you like salt on, Jet? How about French fries? Yeah? Tater tots? Those are my two favorite things to salt. But also on hamburgers and other foods. Wouldn't have much flavor if we didn't have salt, right? But salt has more uses than just making our food taste better. It's used to make over 14,000 different things. That's a lot of stuff that it has a process in. And some of it we use every single day. Salt is used in setting the dye in fabrics. Without salt, the fabrics would basically wash out of the fabric quickly, and then it would be not so bright and colorful. Salt is also made, if you can't see that upper picture, those are a bunch of belts. So leather making, salt is used in that process. Without that, we wouldn't have many products that we use today that are leather. So my pants would sag down without my good leather belt that I'm wearing. Also, this one I didn't know. Salt is used in making plastic. Without salt, we might not have some of those fun plastic toys. Many people have known about the usefulness of salt for many years. A grain of salt is small, but very valuable. At one time, it was so important to people that they actually got paid in salt instead of money. Jesus knew the power of salt in our lives. He even used it to tell his followers how he wants us to live. Jesus said, "Salt is good, but if it loses saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with each other. We are called to be the salt in the world." This means we add flavor to the world with the love of Jesus and to be led by him, making the world a better place. Will you pray with me? Dear God, help us flavor the world with your love. Help us make the world a better place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lance, for that illustration. The salt of the world. There was a book by Rebecca Pippert, I think it was, in the 80s, about getting out and sharing the gospel, and it was Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World was the title of her book, and I pictured that as you were talking about it, us being salt. I think about salt is also used as a preservative. And I think of Lot's wife when she chose to look back and she got stuck right where she was. She became a preservative of the past rather than moving forward and flavoring the future. Dudley. All right, moving forward. Today, we are continuing on in our series. Last week, we began reflecting on our vitals that are part of our marks as a congregation. We've had these seven marks of vital congregations up here on our communion table for well over a year now as we started the Vital Congregations Initiative. And today we're going to be looking at some specific marks and see what our survey results were, but also recognize how God is calling us. And so the two marks that we're going to be looking at are lifelong discipleship formation, so that we're constantly from birth to grave, we're being growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you a little bit of where our survey told us we were with that. It said we scored at about 74%, and the average in our denomination is 75%. So we were right on par with our denomination. And it says, are your worshipers growing spiritually? Below you find your congregation's responses to each of the individual questions that were used to calculate your discipleship score. And that was ours. So we're right on par with that. And then the second one we're going to be looking at today is intentional, authentic evangelism. And I know that E word scares some people. When we think about evangelism, sometimes we think that we're going to have to give these great speeches or to dispense the gospel and be able to lay out the gospel in very clear, systematic ways so that everybody can understand, and you'll have all these people just flocking to you, and you'll be the next Billy Graham. That's not what evangelism necessarily is, although we know that Billy Graham was definitely an evangelist. If we look at our score in intentional authentic evangelism. We scored at 66%. We're a little bit below the denomination's average of 71. And as we look at these closer today, I wanted, as I said last week, I want to get to God's Word. And so I want us to open our hearts and really think about what God's Word says. So before I have Drew come up and read God's Word to us, will you join your hearts with me in prayer, please? Holy Creator, Sovereign Lord, Cleansing Spirit, our triune God, we come before you this morning in worship. We have gathered here with friends and family for the purpose of giving you the glory. We have gathered here this morning offering ourselves to you with hearts ready to hear from you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts this day, that the words read from your holy word would echo within our hearts and minds, that they wouldn't simply be heard today and forgotten, but that they would find their way into our way of being. We invite you to change us, Lord, into the people you create us to be. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So let's hear now from God's holy word. Our reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And it's a familiar passage. So let's pay particular attention, because sometimes those familiar passages, it's easy to just kind of go, oh yeah, I know this, and let it pass by. But let's really pay attention to get past that. And so I want to invite up Drew to come read our scripture for us this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Today's passage is Acts 2, chapters 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
A reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. I apologize for the quick flip. Scott and I were not on the same page, and I went to change it, not realizing he'd already done so. So as we talk about lifelong discipleship and intentional, authentic evangelism, there could not be a more appropriate passage, in my opinion. It's all encapsulated in this passage, this story of the early church. I'm going to ask church-going Christians, when does discipleship begin? The answers I most often hear are when a Christian begins to take their faith seriously, or when a person joins a Bible study, or when a person begins to attend church. But I want to challenge you in that. I want to challenge you in the thinking that discipleship begins with a program. I want you to think back to the Gospels, Jesus calling his disciples. If you want to look at the passages, you can turn to Matthew chapter 4 or Mark chapter 1, Luke 5, or John 1. And in all cases, what you see is Jesus simply approaching his disciples where they are in life, where they are, not in the temple, but at their work site. He wasn't in the synagogue. He wasn't in the temple. He was walking along the shore, and he sees Peter and his brother Andrew, and then James and John, and all of them are fishermen. And Jesus shares that often quoted phrase that we read. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So they were fishermen. He's going to make them fishers of men. And it's interesting to note how our survey demonstrated the church's role in discipleship. So we're going to look at some more statistics, and I don't want to get bogged down in the statistics, but I want us to continue to think about who we are as the church, how we are responding to Jesus' call to be the church. If we look at our statistics here, you will see in that top phrase that 77% affirmed that this church prioritizes faith formation and discipleship making. They said that that was somewhat well or very well. 77%. 94% said the church challenged them to become more like Christ to some extent or greater. 88% said the church helped them apply faith to everyday life somewhat or very well. And a whopping 92% said the church nurtured their spiritual development. Those are great reports. And exciting for this pastor, I got to admit. When I read those, I was excited. That is the measure of how well the church is helping worshipers grow as disciples. And then I get to the role of the individual, a measure of how well the worshipers are growing as disciples. And we saw these statistics. Now, I'm not going to read all of these, but notice in the second row down, it says, "I see myself as a disciple." 55% say that that's true or very, 55% say that that is true or very true. 85% said it was somewhat true, true, or very true. That's awesome. As we go down, looking down, if we go down, 51% say that when they face a problem, they look to teachings of Jesus as true or very true. 51%, that's just over half. That can seem discouraging, but it's 86% true if we include those that said somewhat true. Now, we look at this, and some people can go, wait a minute, why would people who are attending church, which is most of the people that took the survey attend our church, I can't say all because we know that some self-profess that they do not attend our church, but that's okay, we want their input as well. They are affiliated with this church. But how can people say it is just somewhat true and not true? And I read that and I think, well, isn't that what we see happen again and again with the disciples? Think about that. With the disciples, the very people who were with Jesus didn't always look to Jesus when they faced problems. Right? Peter out on the water. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He's not looking to Jesus in that moment. This is Peter, the rock, right? So don't be discouraged when you hear that. And don't be discouraged if you don't always look to Jesus or teachings of Jesus when you're facing a problem. The disciples didn't either. I think it's important for us to recognize that we're no different. So give yourselves a bit of a break there. 95% of you said it's at least somewhat important that you take time to read the Bible. 95%. 95% said it's at least somewhat important or more that you take time to deepen your relationship with God. And of that, 87% said it was important or greater, or very important, in other words. Clearly, we are a church that chooses to be disciples, followers of Jesus, with foibles and failures and fortitude and faithfulness, all of it. Discipleship, following Jesus, it's messy. Too often we think that if I'm a Christian, I've got to have it all together, right? And we don't. Christians don't have it all together. And I think the biggest thing that puts off non-Christians from Christians is when non-Christians view Christians as thinking they've got it all together. I think it was Brendan Manning who said that the greatest hindrance of people coming to Christ is the Christian that doesn't recognize their own faults. And I'm paraphrasing, totally paraphrasing. I wish I had his quote. If I'd thought about it earlier, I would have put it in here. We're not perfect. In Acts, we read these words. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, when we think of discipleship, we think of Bible studies. We think of prayer meetings, time for worship. Those are the kind of things. And the reality is when we do this, and we hear what it is that when we do this, we kind of take church and we put it in the church building. And the reality is when we do this and we hear one another's stories and how God is working in our lives, when we're together, when we come together and we hear from one another's lives, when we're doing our prayer requests and we hear how people's prayers have been answered that we've prayed here or we've heard about and we've known that people have been going through different things. I think of Haven and how we prayed for Haven. And at first, we didn't even know this little child was going to survive. And now she's thriving and she's had an open heart surgery and all these things that she's gone through and we prayed for and had answers to. And it's an amazing thing. And we can truly live and have that sense of wonder. And you look in that next verse, and awe came upon every soul. When we share how God has answered our prayers during our prayer times, it blows my mind. And can to think that anyone, that God would help anyone, that God would answer a prayer to anyone. This is a God that is omniscient, that is omnipresent, that is all powerful, all those things. And God cares about the individual no matter where they are. That brings a sense of awe. And then we look down a little further to verse 44, and we see, and all who believed. Is that up here? Yes, it's still the last part of that. Okay, wanted to make sure because I've got it on a long thing here. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, when we think about the church, when we think about that early church, the early church was not made up of one socioeconomic level. It wasn't. There were people that were wealthy. There were people that had a lot of needs that were poor. There were working class people. You had fishermen, for goodness sake, right? We had fishermen, and we had all these people from all different walks of life are part of this early church. And they come together, and they share what they have. I think that's true of this church. I've been the recipient of such generosity. I know nothing about carpentry, and yet I have received instruction and encouragement and doing some of those home repairs that I am still learning to try and be good at. I will say my home repairs don't necessarily look good, but you know what? The next time I do them, they'll probably look better because I learn along the way. At least I hope I do. We'll find out. Stay tuned. But that idea of I also know that for a fact that members of this church have shared their time, their talent, and their treasure to help others in our congregation as they had need. And not just within this congregation, but also within the community. We see them continuing to, we see our congregation, we see the early church continuing to be together, not just in the temple, but they went into their homes. They're the breaking of bread and prayers and awe spread. And they're not just doing this in the church, they're doing it in their homes and talking about. And day by day, they're attending. Hold on here, I want to go to. There's where I want to go. They were selling their belongings. Yes, that's where I wanted to be. Okay. So they're doing this not only in the temple, they're doing it in their homes. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Nor faith is not something that should be left in the church building. You all know that. I know you know that. And if COVID has taught us anything, it's taught us that the church is not in the building. I mean, we were out in the parking lot for how long? And it has reminded us that the church is not the building, but the church is the people. So as you go home, the church goes with you. Think about that. You are the church, so wherever you are, the church is there. As you read your Bible at home, as you talk about your faith, to whatever extent you talk about it, you are the church. And that brings us to the point of intentional, authentic evangelism. There's nothing that turns off a non-believer quicker than fake evangelism. And what I mean by fake evangelism is what I would call, you're not invested in it. It's just, I need to check a mark off. I need a notch in my Bible of having told somebody about Jesus. So you're not invested in it at all. When we look at evangelism, our survey participants, when asked if our church engaged in evangelism, gave us a generous score. I want you to think about that. If we say slightly well, to somewhat well, to very well, that's 91%. Now, granted, only 46% said we did it somewhat well or better. I understand that. We're a small church. We don't have an evangelism program, per se. Yet 76% said the church encourages and equips them to share their faith somewhat well or very well. Interesting. The church equips me to share my faith. To some extent, to a great extent, that's 76%. That's amazing. And 72% said that the church encourages and equips them to share God's love when engaging in mission work or community service. So then we look at the individual. And we look at the individual when it says, I try and ensure visitors feel welcome. No one said that they didn't. I'm so glad. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And I believe that's true. Anybody who has attended this church, we know that if you come into this church, people invite you to sit with them. That's amazing. You know what a gift that is? I've never seen, because I've seen us have visitors. Granted, we don't have a ton of people coming in and out, but I know that most of you sit about in the same spot every Sunday. No offense, but you do. I get to see it. But when we have visitors and they're sitting in your spot, and I realize it's not your spot, it's just where you happen to sit. I've never seen anybody complain. I can't say that for some of the churches I've been in. I've had members of a church say, I was born in this pew, which they weren't born there, but I mean, they came when they were an infant, and I will be in this pew until the day I die. And I'm like, okay. What are you going to say? When it comes to inviting people who do not attend church to visit our church, 56% said they don't, or that they might occasionally. 79% see our service in the community and missions as true or very true, that that's what we're doing, and that's awesome. Yet 74% see discussing religion or spirituality with people who are not Christian as not important or only somewhat important. I'm not here to put anybody down. I don't want to put you down, but I want you to seriously think about what part does Jesus play in our life? If this place was on fire and you knew where the fire exit was, are you willing to tell other people about the fire exit? Now, Christianity is a lot more complicated than that. I understand that. But if we believe that Jesus is the answer, why don't we share it? I think a lot of times we don't realize that we are sharing it. We are sharing how important Jesus is in our lives. We are sharing, I want to say that again, we are sharing how important Jesus is in our lives. By the way we have conversations, by the way we function with our neighbor, by the way we share about anything going on in our faith. Most of us say that our faith is important. I share the important things in my life, even with my non-believing friends. There's a difference between sharing and arguing. There's a difference between sharing and debating. There's a difference between sharing and putting another person down. All you're saying is, this is my experience. When we think about intentional, authentic evangelism, I want you to think about being intentional about being open about who you are. That discipleship is important. It can be really subtle. I could be having, let's pretend for a moment that Lance isn't a believer, and I'm having coffee with Lance, or I'm having lunch with Lance, and he's sharing something that's going on in his life, I'm sharing something that's going on in mine, and I say, and you know what? I've been praying about it. And this is what I sense is going on. All I'm doing is sharing who I am and what I'm experiencing. I have said nothing about where he's coming from or whatever. Or I might say, hey, Lance, I read this in the Bible. I don't get it. What do you think? Ever ask a non-Christian what they think about what the Bible says? You know what? They have opinions. And it can lead to a great discussion. So I want to encourage you in that. As I read through our report, it's easy to see a lot of great things about our church. And there are amazing things. We have an amazing church. And it's also true that we can see some things that maybe we're not as excited about. Yet this is a snapshot of who we were when the survey was taken, right? Because it was taken at a certain period of time, certain day, and how we perceive ourselves, or perceived, past tense, ourselves. As I read through our scripture passage today, I see a small band of believers being faithful, and God is the one that is adding to the number. We're going to read here again. God's the one that adds to the number. I don't see church programs. I don't see flashy presentations. I don't see people, or what I do see, I see people being devoted to the apostles' teaching. And it's important to recognize those apostles were those called by Jesus. So what were they sharing? They were sharing what they'd learned from Jesus, just the way that we can. I see people being devoted to fellowship, being in community with one another, but not segregated from the rest of the world. There's a sense of how to help their neighbors and care for their community. I see people taking their faith out of the temple and into their homes, into the places where they lived and worked, and being glad and being generous. I see people praising God wherever they are. I see people enjoying favor with the community. As we as a church check our vitals, let's continue to ask questions of our church and of ourselves. When does discipleship begin? Think about that. What is a disciple? Am I a disciple? Are we comfortable inviting people who don't attend church to attend ours? Why or why not? These are questions we need to be asking. How can we as a church continue to worship God and be more inviting? How can we as individuals take that step and invite our neighbor? These are questions I'm asking to myself and to our leadership. These are questions for all of us to consider. And as we do so, I want us to read that passage again. So we're going to read it together. Yes, I'm going to invite you to read out loud. Let's read together from Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. To the glory of God, amen.
This is our time to take a moment to think about our talents, time, and treasure, and to spend time thinking about God. You will be able to put your offering in the plate at the back of the church after the service, so we're not passing around any germs on offering plates. So we're going to sing in moments like these. Let's use the doxology as a prayer for our offerings. Please stand.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
As we come to prayers of the people, I want to give you all an opportunity to share a joy, share a concern. And so if you have any joys, do we have any joys this morning? Poppy.
Jack has improved so very much.
We're glad that Jack is improving. Thank you for sharing that. And I also see that Janice is next to you, and we're glad that she's here, and we give praise for that as well. Other joys that we can share. How about concerns? What are some of our concerns that we can add to our prayers this morning? Poppy, again. I understand that one. Anyone else? Yes.
I missed the part when you said Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Frank and I were on a little tour down in Oregon on our motorcycles, about 1,500 miles, and we did have an incident, but it wasn't so bad that anybody got hurt either.
So praise God for safe travels and protection from that trip. Yeah, that's a great one. Thank you. Thanks, Scott. If you could only see my shorthand up here. Okay. Any others? All right, let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, our great physician. We come before you each Sunday and we lift up to you our joys and our concerns. And God, it truly is a wonder that you hear our prayers. They don't have to be prayed from this pulpit. They can be prayed in our cars as we're driving from our car passenger seat, from our living rooms, from our gardens, just walking, standing in the kitchen, wherever it is that we are, Lord, we can turn to you in prayer and you hear us. Lord, that just boggles my mind. That truly brings to me a sense of awe that as we lift up our prayers to you, that you are listening. The God who spoke everything into being, who said, let there be light, and there was, and let there be stars in the sky, and a sun, and a moon, and plants, and animals, and then created humanity. You know us from the inside out. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You listen to our prayers. That's amazing. God, we thank you and we give you praise for travel mercies for Scott and Veronica, that they were able to have a safe trip and put in so many miles. And even though they had one little incident, God, we thank you that they are safe. We give you praise for that. We thank you and praise you that Jack is so much improved. We continue to praise you for that. We thank you that Steve's Uncle Donnie is doing so much better after his car accident. We ask that you would continue to heal him. And Lord, any time that we come before you, we also have to be thinking about those that have suffered loss. We think about Patty and her family as the vineyards mourn her loss, and Lord, just grieve her death. We ask that you give them a sense of peace. We pray for a sense of protection over Wilma as where she's at has been locked down because of COVID. We think of Pastor Wendy and the loss of her son Philip. We think of all those that have suffered from COVID. We think of Renee and the recent death of her younger sister, and that she has COVID and is unable to experience the comfort of family and friends. We think of others that are just dealing with this dreaded virus. God, we ask for healing. We lift up to you those that are in hospice care. We think of Bob and we think of Bill. We pray for a sense of peace there. God, we thank you for that Janice is healing. And we thank you that she's with us today. God, we pray for healing for Poppy and for her eyes. We pray for all those that are dealing with eye ailments, Lord. We pray that they would not get worse, but they would see that they may even get better. We pray for those that are living in difficult situations. We think of Linda, and we pray for her safety and well-being, that she would find a better option. We lift up to you, Daryl, and we can continue to ask for your healing touch to be upon him. We pray for Rita and her neurology appointment coming up. We pray for Linda, who's suffering from health issues. We pray for Dwight and Cornelia, as Dwight is dealing with his infected leg and Cornelia is dealing with his care. And God, we pray that you would be with them. We continue to rejoice with those that have found new work. We pray for those that need work. We lift up to you, Nate, and we pray for a safe flight home from California this evening. We pray for our leaders in our country. Lord, of our president and vice president and the cabinet, Lord, we pray for President Biden and for Vice President Harris, and we pray for their discernment and wisdom, Lord. I pray that you would give them wisdom beyond their own understanding. Pray that you would surround them with leaders who are thoughtful and intelligent and discerning. God, we pray for our Congress and our Senate, and we pray for the decisions they make, and we pray for all those in our healthcare systems that are seeking to give wisdom to how we combat this virus. Pray for our governor. God, we pray that your grace and your mercy may be upon them all. God, we are thankful that we have schools, and we pray for our school administrators and teachers and parents and all those that are in contact with people on a daily basis, Lord. We ask for your hand of protection to be upon them. As they lead in organizations that deal with people, God, I pray that you would help them find a way to stay open, but also protect the public. God, we thank you that you have taught us a prayer through your Son, Jesus. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining me in that. I just have a few announcements. One is, I want to thank Veronica for these beautiful flowers. They came from her garden, and if you haven't had a chance to walk up and look at the size of some of these roses, they are truly amazing. So thank you, Veronica, for helping those. And then these are from Pastor Wendy's, the memorial for her son, Philip. And so those also remind us of Philip and Pastor Wendy. And Rayona, are you taking these, or are these for someone to take?
Ruth and I were hoping they could be planted in church.
On the church grounds. Okay. All right. So we'll try and make sure that happens. Veronica. Okay, apples and pears, almost nothing better. Okay, all right, So we have all that going on. That's amazing. We also have a midweek Bible study that they are studying via Zoom, which is very convenient because you can just log in wherever you are. You can even call in, and if you need have questions about that, you can talk to either Lance or Carrie. They're right here. We have a deacons meeting today, and so we will be in person in the workroom. And so if you are a deacon, we invite you to be a part of that. I think that is all the announcements. So let's join in singing our parting hymn, Freely, Freely.
Stand if you wish.
A great message for all of us. As God has given to us, let us go and give to others. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, power, and honor in the church and in the world. And all God's people said, Amen. Go in peace.